Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Look at this, man. We're just cruising along. I feel like end of the year. This is crazy. Like, finally, you know, getting into it a little bit here. We're in December. Like, who would have thought, you know, another year of The Payoff. Here we go.
Been a good year. Covered a lot.
Yes, we covered a lot of good stuff. I feel like we're finishing strong. We're going to start 23 strong. This is all good stuff, though.
So we've got Jushin Thunder Liger, Rey Mysterio Jr., Starrcade 96 were, I don't know, I won't say the height of WCW's popularity, but pretty darn close to like that stage. Obviously, NWO early in the year, it's red hot, starting to get too big of a faction.
Yeah.
Starting to get a little, it's funny, well, we'll talk about that more during the match, but that brings up something I want to talk about. Why did you pick this match?
Yeah, this was just one of those where it's, you know, two great wrestlers, you know, Rey Mysterio involved in some really good storyline nowadays, you know, still doing what he does. You know, so that's really good to see. I think this was just one that we don't, you know, everybody always associates Jushin Thunder Liger with like the Brian Pillman match. And so after I, you know, kind of looking at some highly rated matches and kind of what was out there, this was one that I was like, you know what? I don't watch a lot of his stuff. You know, he had a match with Tyler, or not Tyler, who was it? Oh my gosh, I can't remember his name. One of the guys in NXT, Tyler Breeze. Yeah. And so I, you know,
Yeah, right.
And so I wanted to see a little bit more, especially like 1996. This is when he was, you know, more in the height of his career. And so, and taking on Rey Mysterio when he was, you know, this little tiny high flyer, I thought that that was just a good opportunity for us to see both these guys kind of in their prime.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to cover this one.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Let's get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, so Starrcade, you know, arguably the biggest show of the year. I always thought it was for WCW, but then Eric Bischoff talks about how Halloween Havoc was the biggest show of the year. And I'll tell you, there's so much value in having a WrestleMania, having a Super Bowl. I guess All Out is supposed to be that for AEW. But it's not. I mean, they have kind of four equal pay-per-views for the most part. That's one of the flaws. I don't know why they haven't just picked some big event. I mean, TNA, is it Slammiversary?
Yeah.
Supposed to be like the big, okay. Why wouldn't you have a signature event?
It's Wrestle Kingdom in New Japan. Like, that's the event, right?
Exactly. Like, it just feels like you need a Super Bowl. So Starrcade 96, Nashville, Tennessee, Nashville Municipal Auditorium, which recently hosted Ric Flair's final match until his next match.
his retirement match, yeah.
Yes. Interesting show. We start out Ultimo Dragon defeating Dean Malenko in a title unification cruiserweight championship match. They went 18 minutes.
Of the night, yeah.
Yeah, Akira Hokuto would defeat Medusa in the inaugural women's championship title tournament final. Gosh, I'm looking at the brackets, Jeff. I don't know any of these women other than Medusa.
Yeah.
Then the match we're covering is next. Then Jeff Jarrett would defeat Chris Benoit in a no DQ match. This was kind of their Four Horsemen feud. The Outsiders of Nash and Hall, accompanied by X-Pac, defeated the Faces of Fear to retain the Tag Team Championship. Eddie Guerrero defeating DDP in another tournament final. This one was for the U.S. Heavyweight Championship, just an 8-man tournament. Luger defeating the Giant in 13 minutes. And then the main event, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan, kind of this dream match that, you know, had happened before, but never on a massive stage. And Roddy Piper gets the win, if you can believe that.
By submission.
By submission, yes. I'm assuming it was a sleeper hold. But yeah, that's your show. So they did a great job in the build to that Piper Hogan match. I'm sure the match wasn't that great, but really a great build. So storyline standpoint, how do we get to Liger and Mysterio here at Starrcade 96?
Yeah, absolutely. So Jushin Thunder Liger on this one, he had primarily been active in New Japan, and so that's where so many of us associate him with. And so actually in 1995, actually coming back to WCW for a little while, of course, we all know it was that inaugural Monday Nitro match at the Mall of America where he took on Brian Pillman in a losing effort on that one. And so he really had a lot of different kind of high name opponents. You know, we know Chris Benoit, Brian Pillman, Malenko, Mysterio, Juventud Guerrera. He actually challenged Conan for the United States Heavyweight Championship at Slamboree, which was just a little bit prior to this Starrcade. So he'd been doing just, I say, around, you know, he had been having just a lot of good matches with a lot of different people. Mysterio, on the flip side, of course, he had actually just debuted. It was actually June of this 1996 year at Great American Bash, as we all know, in the losing effort to Dean Malenko for the Cruiserweight Championship. Those guys having a lot of back and forth. But then you had his Bash at the Beach match where he beat Psychosis. That was a number one contenders match. And then literally the next night, that July, is when he won his first Cruiserweight Championship off of Malenko. He had the belt for a few months, and then defending against Ultimate Dragon, Malenko again, Super Calo, like all kinds of different people, eventually losing it though once again to Malenko at that Halloween Havoc. And so he also had, you know, it's just a lot of like different matches with a lot of these different people. And so between these two guys, they didn't really have a match prior to this one taking place. And so they may have done like a house show or something like crazy like that, but for the most part, like, these guys were just kind of individually in their own little cruiserweight world. And it's one of those where they were having different matches back and forth. And so it just made sense where, okay, we need a Starrcade match. And Malenko took on Ultimate Dragon to open the show on this one. But then, so we needed, you know, kind of put these guys together. And so this was the match we get. And so it just kind of makes sense for, hey, these guys, they didn't really need a storyline for this one to have a match, but here we go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to covering this one. I'm a cruiserweight fan during this era.
Especially Ray, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how that one kind of happens. I will say, Tom, before we get into the match here, what is the sign that you have made it as a podcast when your code for your various sponsors gets stolen and put on the internet? And so I want to remind everyone that now we have a new code for Manscaped out there. And so making sure that everyone is aware that it is, we're switching back. I believe this was our OG code.
That's what actually. I thought. This was the original one that was posted and we had to switch from.
So we're throwing it back for you. And so the if your code's not working, make sure to now use payoff, no 20, just payoff on manscaped.com. It's early enough right now. You could order today. You can get everything that you want before the holidays, whatever it might be. And so it's a sign that we're doing well. People are using our code because they're seeing it. And then it ended up on one of those random, like, here's your code websites. And so they reached out and said, hey, we want to keep you guys doing this. We're seeing some good things people are buying. And so use that code at manscaped.com. It's still 20% off. It's still free shipping for your entire order using the promo code payoff, just payoff, at manscaped.com. It's a good thing, man. It feels good, man. It feels good to be liked, you know.
There you go. And great stuff for the holidays. So use the payoff code for the holidays for all your stuff. All right, Starrcade 96, 41 minutes. Starrcade 96, 41 minutes. Season 14, episode 1 on Peacock. Jeff, are you ready?
The bell has rung. I am ready.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
Thunder Liger. First time competing here in WCW in a long, long time. I think if you go back even Starrcade of last year.
Was it last year? They're saying he hasn't competed in WCW in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
So let me bring this up. So we're talking about the NWO.
Yeah.
And so obviously July 1996, they get formed. And, you know, history remembers the NWO very kindly, in my opinion. I think the NWO is absolutely overrated as a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
I think it had a ridiculously massive impact on the business. More reality-based, a little bit darker, bad guys are good guys. Hulk Hogan, who looked like he had nothing left in the tank, regains being the biggest star for another couple years, you know, kind of right there with Austin, drawing a shit ton of money. You know, now the greatest baby face of all time is one of the top five heels of all time. Right. I mean, yeah. just insane. So like there's a lot of stuff there. The jumping between companies, Nash and Hall, you know, just really taking off in their careers and being successful in another company. So don't get me wrong. There's a lot there. That being said, they also did a hell of a lot wrong. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot wrong. The sold out pay-per-view sucked. You know, trying to like make it into two promotions made no sense. They oversaturated it. And then obviously the biggest thing is way too many people joined. But here, Jeff, here's how crazy this is. So, you know, again, they form in July of 96. Okay. This pay-per-view takes place end of 96. So we're only talking 6 months. And remember, they're producing one show a week, not two shows. There's like, it's not like they have all this TV to burn through. It's just a 2 hour show a week. So you can do slow build, slow burn. But over this like 5 month period, Ted DiBiase joins. Okay. And that one never made sense to me. Okay. But I guess he jumps WWF guy. Okay. Then you have the Giant join. That makes no sense. Ever, that never made any sense. That was horrible. He had no ties to the WWF, really, like, didn't add anything to the faction. Then you have the NWO Sting. Okay, I guess that's kind of interesting. X-Pac, okay. Vincent, Miss Elizabeth, Knobs and Sags, Nick Patrick, Eric Bischoff, Buff Bagwell, IRS, Big Boss Man, and Scott Norton, all by the end of the year, within 6 months. So this idea of, oh, the NWO is really hot and really kicking ass, and after a while we put too many guys in. No. Right away you put too many guys in. The coolest shit the NWO ever did all took place within the first 90 days of the faction. Everything you're going to tell me you loved about the NWO, oh, throwing Mysterio like a lawn dart and coming down from the from the crowd, like, you know, when Hall first did, or yeah, Hall did, and then Nash debuted, Eric Bischoff turning, this shit all took place right away. It all happened immediately. So, oh, the NWO lasted for a few years. Yeah, but it really wasn't good after the first 90 days. So contrast that with like what the Bloodline's doing right now. Is the Bloodline hot as hell?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Or are they as good now as they've been at any point? Yes. Could the Bloodline go on for another 2 years? Absolutely. Just like the Shield had longevity. Arguably, the Shield could have been together longer. My point is they're absolutely overrated as a faction in so many ways because it just lasted way too long, but it fizzled out way too quick. And people don't, if you actually look at the timeline and realize, oh, this faction was only good for under 6 months, arguably 90 days. Wow, great suplex to the outside. Mm-hmm. So spare me that. That's my opinion. What about you?
Yeah, I think that while there were flashes of things, like, you know, of course, like they had big matches. I say big matches, I would say notable matches. Yeah, like there was, you know, they brought in the Rodman stuff. They had, you know, there was a lot of things, like, you know, of course, that we remember moments of it. But like you said, like I had forgotten that, you know, some of those guys were in NWO, because there was, by the end, you couldn't remember who was what. Like the faction was literally half of the company. And so and then in addition to that, you add in Wolfpack, you add in like Latino World Order, like you add in all these, like it's almost like, well, you know, I will always and forever be the fan of the faction around here and the stable around here. Like there is a limit too. And so this is one where proving that of, hey, like I'd argue, was there ever a bigger moment, now that you're saying that I'm thinking about, was there ever a bigger moment than that first promo? I don't think so.
You mean after Hogan turned heel?
Yes.
No, the high point of the faction was the night it started.
Right. Yeah. And so
it was all downhill from there. And I get it. It was an incredible moment, but it's like it had no longevity.
Yeah. It's been a slower match right now. We got a little bit of high flying going on here. I will say this was one thing I wanted to point out in my notes that I had here is Liger at this point too. He had actually been out for a while because he had a brain tumor removed, and he was at this point getting to be a little bit more limited in what he's doing. I think Ray doing a good job working with him though.
God, I love a good surfboard. This is like my this is one of my favorite. It just makes kind of a no
wind
sense.
Up. Yeah, it really doesn't. Like
you would never do this in a fight. I always loved that. Like as a kid, I always thought that was such a cool move. But again, it makes no sense.
It looks painful as hell. But yeah.
Yeah. One of the cool things about it is like it's really hard to do to your friends. So
yep.
Like anybody put their buddy in a sharpshooter.
Yep. You brought up an interesting point here as we're kind of watching this match. Something I want to think about is we recently, about a month or so ago, had the season premiere of Raw. Like you talk about, you know, some of these big shows, like is there, and we've talked about it here before, is there a reason why they're not doing like seasons or, you know, storylines, you know, it's six, like, you know, the New Japan, we know like a lot of the stories reset after Wrestle Kingdom. Like, is there a reason they're not doing more of that?
Well, let me tell you my idea. So from a pay-per-view standpoint, I think we've got a good cadence, right? I think SummerSlam's big, Saudi shows are big. We have a big UK pay-per-view now. You've WrestleMania season, you've WrestleMania. Pay-per-view after WrestleMania is usually really good because there's, you know, still feuds and lingering things. So mm-hmm. We're going to change the Hell in a Cell to actually just use it to blow off storylines. I'm great at pay-per-views. Here would be my biggest feedback to Triple H is do themed weeks. Mm. So a theme week would be old school, meaning when I tune into Raw, they've got the old Raw set, the RAW, and they've got the old school graphics, and they've got the old school intro, and we bring back a couple legends to referee or accompany someone or do whatever, okay? But you go, you old school broadcast, you have the announcers wearing the old WWF jackets, anything you could do, right? Anything that you could do, I think would be really cool. Then SmackDown, you bring back the Fist entrance. And again, old school package, you know, maybe a show and a couple old school clips. And I think that would be just awesome. Like, but that's an example, you know. Now another one, and I, you know, obviously the rumor is there's going to be a King of the Ring pay-per-view. I would do that as a themed week. So I'd do the King and Queen of the Ring week, meaning, you know, you start both tournaments on Raw, you finish them on SmackDown, or you do King on Monday, Queen on Friday. But the point is that, you know, so that would be like a week. So, I mean, if you took, you know, like, and I say themes, not shows. So I actually like AEW does these like shows.
They do a lot of them.
Winter is coming. See, I actually don't like that because to me, then I'm like, well, why am I paying $50 for a pay-per-view? Oh, you know, cause that's the catch 22. Oh, these are pay-per-view quality, TV shows.
Yep.
Then, so what? So then you have 14 pay-per-views or 16? why should I tune in to the other Dynamites if you're telling me they're less than that? So I don't like that. Like, I actually, but I like the theme. Like, even if you did, you know, a Halloween Havoc theme. So Raw and SmackDown were both a Halloween Havoc theme or a Great American Bash theme. So it just, again, something just visually that looks a little different. Maybe it changes the stipulations of the matches. I think that could be really fun.
AEW's right now, like you said, that winner is coming. I know they've done a couple other ones. Like, they feel too much like a sponsor and not like a themed show.
Yeah, like, and that's what I'm saying. I like themes better than the sponsor.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, hey, I totally agree.
Yeah, that dead week that around Christmas where no one ever like watches Raw and they're taped and stuff. Yep. Maybe make that Royal Rumble qualifier week. So every match that we have on both shows is for a spot into the Royal Rumble.
Well, and I feel they just announced not too long ago, well, maybe a couple weeks ago now at this point, like what the taping schedule is going to be for this coming weeks. Like, hey, because of how the holidays fall, like they're recording them all in the middle of the month. And so maybe, you know, that is a way to add some stakes to some of this stuff. Is like, hey, we know, like, you know, the spoilers are going to be out there. Like, you know, they're all taped. Like, you can find them if you want. But on the flip side, like, hey, let's add something to it to like, okay, yeah, it would be cool to just see, we can give you the final four of a King of the Ring bracket. Like, you know, our Queen of the Ring bracket, yeah. Big there, Moonsault, that was great.
These guys are really heating up now. Liger's outfit is like one of my just all-time favorites.
Oh, that's the mask, man, I'm telling you, yep. But like, okay, so then we go into the new year, which they got rid of day one pay-per-view or premium live, whatever the hell you want to call it. I feel like that's a shot at Triple H at Nick Khan being like, no, screw you. I really don't like that. And so, but also I feel like the ratings were awful. Like nobody was watching that show, which I think, yeah, there's football, there's other things going on, like, you know, hanging out, you know, you're hungover, like it's just not going to be a thing. But I think on the flip side, like doing it, you know, kind of having, like you said, some start stop, add some stakes to it. Like, and I won't lie, I enjoy a lot of the Christmas episodes that they film too. Like they get the set, like you got Braun and you know, there's always somebody going through a tree or something. Like they're actually pretty enjoyable shows just to throw on. So even if things are spoiled,
I went to a taping probably like 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
Taped two Christmas episodes or whatever. It was fun. You know, yeah. The last one on, I forget who it was, but I feel like the last match was like Cena Del Rio in a, you know, Christmas brawl match or something. It was just fun.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like doing
some last tickets. It was a good time.
I watch, like I said, that's still one of my favorite photos. We use it to celebrate the holidays around here at the payoff of the Braun Strowman dressed up as the elf. Like, you know, like let him go throw some people into some trees. Like, you know, let's have some good time with it. But I think doing some of that stuff, I really like your Royal Rumble idea. I think the King of the Ring coming back will be a good thing. I think, you know, kind of finding a way, like you said, to have some of those qualifier and actually. Let's, you know, there's no reason to not do qualifying matches. It gives you some new matchups that you may not see otherwise. But then also, like, you know, there's no reason not to. Like, how do we pick these people? Like, I feel like Triple H maybe have his finger on it a little bit more. I think you and I can both agree too. This is more important now too, because we are going to see probably about, I would say, like a 25% decrease in premium live events in 2023. We already know Hell in the Cell is out. We already know Day One is out. I think it's really smart because it was oversaturation. You and I talk about that. Like every month, you know, you and I had to sit. Also, like it's confusion with Saturday, Sunday. Like I never know anymore what night anything's going to be on. AEW had the right idea of saying like, oh, it was a Hurricane Rana. It looked like it messed up. You know, they want, you know, they said, oh, if it was a long weekend, it'll be on Sunday. But if it's not, it's going to be on Saturday. Yeah. Ooh, wow. Yeah. Big there.
All right, Liger bomb. Three, America, nothing.
Got him. Wow. Leadership Thunder Liger.
Yes. It was a nasty sit-down power bomb.
Mysterio Jr.
It was, yeah.
Liger bomb.
Now, next, as we said, for Liger, the Ultimate Dragon, January 4th.
There you go. Clean win over Mysterio.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm fine with less premium live events. Yeah, the other thing too, King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring, throw some NXT people in there.
Yep.
It's a really neat matches. And you have like the holy hell, the, you know, NXT North American champion could actually win this tournament. You know, it'd be kind of fun. So,
yep, absolutely.
Cool.
All right.
They're showing some highlights right now. I mean, just really, really good match. I'll tell you what,
springboard. Yeah.
And again, not to sound like an old man, but like, I just feel like in this era, this stuff was like a little bit more raw and organic. Like these guys, like even that powerbomb, it's just a little sloppy. Like not everything is super choreographed and perfect. And I just felt like these guys, like, yes, they're doing all these crazy spots, but it didn't feel like a spot fest and it didn't feel like gymnastic-y. It just felt like, no, they're actually fighting, but they're flying around.
Yep, absolutely. Good stuff.
All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
What'd you think?
It's a good little match. I you know, this card, this overall card as a whole is about to fall off really kind of after this match. But I think an opening, cruiserweights always put on a good match no matter what they did. And so I thought that this one was no exception.
Now, do you prefer a cruiserweight division or do you prefer just having the cruiserweights like Rey Mysterio does now wrestle?
I very much enjoyed when they had like the Cruiserweight Classic and they did some of that stuff on, you know, NXT. I, again, at tournament style stuff, I thought that they were doing phenomenally at the time. I think it showcased a lot of people that we wouldn't have seen otherwise. There were some names too that, like, you know, came into WWE just for a match and then left and then said, you know, they'd never come back. I think, you know, some of those names and, you know, kind of seeing some of that stuff I thought was really good. So I think that if you can, and unfortunately, like 205 Live was probably, you know, that was really good when it started. And then it kind of, you know, Vince, I think too many hands or too many cooks in the kitchen with it, but yeah, I'd be fine with another like cruiserweight show or division, like doing something like a Lucha Underground, like give me an hour on, you know, some random network. Like I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. They just never been able to figure out like how to do it. I mean, it's just weird because it's like WCW did such a great job with the cruiserweights. It made all the sense in the world. Like it just, I don't know why they've never, I mean, and there's been so many iterations of it. There was the light heavyweight championship. There was the purple cruiserweights, right? Where like everything was purple and they had their own show and they had some matches on. I don't know. It's just for whatever reason, like I watched this and I'm like, well, this is incredible. But then it just didn't work. It's just never been able to work. I don't know. Just kind of odd, but.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, so on this one, like kind of what are we getting into? Kind of what happened here? For the most part, like Jushin kind of went back to New Japan. They kind of said it at the end of this one. Part of this match, and if you weren't following wrestling a whole lot, like kind of internationally, you wouldn't know, is like him and Ultimate Dragon actually would have a match. Ultimate Dragon beating actually like Dean Malenko in that opener. A big reason for that was he had like six or seven belts already. And so it was kind of a build where these guys working each other to get to that New Japan show. And so having that Rey Mysterio though on this one, like, you know, a couple different feuds, different people, things like that. But eventually, really, yeah, taking on Prince Iaukea, Ultimate Dragon, just a lot of different people. But then himself getting into a feud with the New World Order, actually that middle of 1997, if you will. He actually had a match with Conan. It was Road Wild, and so they had that. And then, of course, eventually at the end of 1997, getting into the all-time classic of him and his match between Eddie Guerrero. It was a title versus match to get Halloween Havoc. And so just one of the best ones. He ended up, of course, winning that one for his second Cruiserweight Championship. And so just good stuff. You know, this was just that time in WCW, like you said, where it was just kind of, I feel like the Cruiserweights were overlooked in so many ways just because of what was happening with other people on the card. And so it kind of sucked, but in that sense, but you can always kind of see especially if you're looking at the overall kind of, you know, taking with a grain of salt, the kind of overall where the matches were, like everything pretty much the first half of this card was great. And then except like kind of the women's match and then everything after that was garbage. And so, and it's always been, you hear it on different podcasts, you hear from different people, like the Cruiserweights just never got the credit that they deserve going going out there opening and putting on literally, if you're not going to go last, go first. And they kind of are the ones that where a lot of that originated is because they went out there and put on a show. So,
yep.
Okay. PWI 1996, Jushin Thunder Liger 38, Rey Mysterio number 7. And so both guys pretty high on this one. The torch on this one saying, actually a weak finish because it seemed they messed up their timing, but went to the sudden finish anyway, rather than spend a minute building up to it again. Perhaps they were given a go home signal and had no choice but to end it quickly. Very good match, but below expectations. And then the torch, though, giving that one 4 stars. And so I don't know how you below expectation of 4 stars. But anyways, and so there was like the Hurricanrana looked off, but then the Liger bomb kind of worked and they just kind of went for it. So it was OK. So the Observer newsletter on this one, the Ultimate Dragon and Dean Malenko match took number 1. But then the Liger Rey Mysterio took 2, followed by Piper and Hogan bringing up the tail end here on some of this. And so both were hard and what they did was excellent, but there was something missing with Liger being mainly a mat wrestler these days due to injuries and one of the best in the world at it, and Mysterio mainly being a flyer. Mysterio Jr. is the best wrestler I've ever seen for the ability to actually have missed a move and be so agile as to recover in the middle of a miss and turn it into a hit. And so 3¾ stars. And so I think harsh assessments. I think that the match did start slow. It was not high flying, but like some of the stuff they were showing in the end here, like the springboard kind of outside the ring, it doesn't have to immediately be high flying. You know, it was not Pillman, you know, Liger or anything like that. But I don't think, you know, especially like, you know, Liger wasn't sitting around taking shots. And so, and Mysterio again was doing more than enough. Even if you say he carried it in a lot of ways, like that, it looked great to me. And so, I thought this was, I don't fully agree with these guys. So I'm actually going to put this one at an 8. I thought this was like, this was better than I think they give it credit for.
Wow. All right. I had this at a 6. Like, I thought it was a good match, but tough competition with all the other great cruiserweight matches out there.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, good stuff. I enjoy it. I, of course, don't forget as well, too, we talked about Manscaped a little bit earlier and using our new promo code Payoff, just Payoff on there. But then also we still have, of course, our True Classic tees, all kinds of menswear, all kinds of good things in their store as well, too. And so of using the Manscaped to take care of what's under the shirt, you know, have the True Classic tees to, actually wear the shirt. And so using our promo code there in their store, of course, that's Payoff 25. That's Payoff 25 for 25% off of your entire order there. Free shipping anything over $100. And so especially again with the holidays coming up, guys, like, you know, whether you need just a gift for somebody, like you want to start, you know, small, like a lot of the Manscaped stuff will fit in a stocking, of course, too. Like, you know, want to get some decent menswear, like, of course, too, like great gifts to give to family, friends, whatever it might be. Use our promo codes in both those stores. Get yourself some good stuff for the holidays. You order today, you can definitely still get it before the holidays, so don't miss out. So Tom, final thoughts?
fun episode. I'm excited for next week, man. We got some real star power in that matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Not interesting kind of show as well too, but should be good stuff.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So, well, as always, appreciate the support our sponsors, and we'll see you next week on an all new episode of The Payoff.